Hello and welcome to The Gambling Files TLDR. I'm your host, one of your hosts. Well, today I'm your only host, John Bruford. My co-host, Fintan Costello, was visiting Santa last week. I don't think Santa gave him COVID. I might be wrong. I don't know what he asked for Christmas. But Fintan can't join us today because last week Santa, this week busy and important businessman. But I am joined today by Steve Ruddock. Steve is the content director for Betting USA and editor in chief of Gaming Law Review. Steve, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Steve, I've got a cold. Regular listeners, I think we've got two. I think there's one in Saudi Arabia and one in the Philippines. Will know that I don't always sound this healthy. But I'm happy to say that I took a lateral flow test and you won't get COVID from recording this podcast with me.
That's good. I had my booster shot, so I should be okay.
That's good. You're ahead of the curve there. And anytime I need to cough, I will mute my microphone, which is the podcast equivalent of wearing a mask and a condom and burning all of my belongings. Steve, what brings you here today? What are we talking about?
So recently I wrote an article laying out some predictions for 2022 in the U.S. sports betting space. And you got in touch with me and said, this is kind of an interesting topic. Can we talk about it some more? And here I am.
I totally did do that. I mean, it wasn't a great big long piece on, it was on bettingusa.com, which as mentioned, Steve is the content director for. Just going to pluck one out of the article, which I've got open in front of me. It's usually Fintan does the preparation. and I'm going to say, number five is regulators under the microscope. Can you touch a little on that? See if people fancy listening to the RTFM episode. What do you think, Steve?
Sure. So I think in the US, we have a very unique problem in that there are 50 different states and we have 30 some odd legalized markets for sports betting, which means we have 30 something odd regulatory bodies, not including tribal, which would probably bring the total up to 60-ish. So we have a very interesting problem here where we have some regulatory bodies who are very well-versed in dealing with gambling issues. They've had existing casino industries, New Jersey since the 70s, Nevada even before that, and some in the 90s. But some of these regulatory bodies are newly created. Most of the time, regulatory bodies for gambling in the U.S., is made up of appointees. So that could be the governor, legislatures. Usually it's law enforcement type people that get appointed to these positions. And they don't really have a very good grasp of gambling. So it's a lot of learning on the job. And I think there's going to be a lot of hiccups along the way.
Interesting that people with little grasp of gambling might be put into positions of authority. That's almost never happened before. So if you'd like to hear more from Steve on this subject, join us for the RTFM episode. Steve, you're a legend. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we move on to our second guest of this episode. It's actually a day later than the first guest. My throat is a bit more sore, possibly a little more sexy. Maybe I'll try a little purr for you later. And that leads me neatly into introducing our second guest, Mr. Tom Neiman.
Oh my God, they're tuning out as you speak.
Well, do you know, Tom, we're not joined by Fintan right now because, well, he wasn't on the episode last week because he was visiting Santa, and it's true, he was. Okay. And he's not on the episode this week. Well, he wasn't on yesterday's part of the episode because he was doing busy and important businessman things. And today, apparently, he's just running really late.
Well, it's his loss.
I'm disgusted. And in fact, I was just about to make a really English joke and I realized there's no point because like we just have no English listeners really. I was going to say, I'm going to put my foot through the television and send the BBC the bill, but utterly redundant. Sorry about that, Tom. So, Tom, you're usually with us to discuss events in Japan. We're not doing Japan today, Tom. Why aren't we doing Japan today? We're not doing Japan today because...
Because...
You're sitting in sweet home Chicago.
I am. I am so fortunate. It is a cold, blustery, but sunny day in the Windy City.
And so named because I believe it's quite windy.
No, it's more the wind that comes out of the politicians that make it a windy city.
Wow, then every city could be a windy city. But Chicago is famous for many, many things. I'm just going to list a couple of them now. It is famous for... Are you in a submarine?
No. Somebody obnoxiously was calling me for a second, and I've just hung up on him.
Good. The cheeky bastards. This is a very important podcast, VIP.
How dare they?
I know, right? Famous things from Chicago, the Chicago Black Sox. Shoeless Joe and his chums. Did you ever see the movie 8 Men Out, Tom?
Yes, I did. And Shoeless Joe Jackson.
It's a terrific movie and really not been seen by many people. But for my money, it might be the best baseball movie ever made.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
John Sayles movie for anybody that's interested. And it's certainly one of his best. And he's made some terrific movies. So that's just one thing that Chicago is famous for. It's the home of Ferris Bueller. Illinois as a state is the place where the fictional, well, I think it's a fictional Chicago suburb of Shermer is, which was the location for most of John Hughes films. Have you ever visited Shermer, Tom?
There is no Shermer. Hughes was from Winnetka, which is about 2 miles to my east. I'm sitting on the edge of Winnetka, and Hughes used Glenbrook South as the setting for the movie, which is a school just down the road. So I'm very familiar with the North Shore. It's basically where I've been living for the last, other than Las Vegas, for the last 30, 40 years. So
when you say the movie, you mean Ferris Bueller?
Well, Ferris Bueller was up in Glencoe, which is another suburb. So Hughes.
Were you thinking of the Breakfast Club?
The Breakfast Club was, again, back in Winnetka.
I grew up at just the right time for John
now,
Hughes.
Now, here's something new. The house from Home Alone, they have put up a fence because so many people have walked up to the door and rang the doorbell. So they have put up about a 6-foot iron fence at the sidewalk to cut people off.
Excellent. But I love that you brought that up because an awful lot of people don't associate that film with John Hughes because it's not a teen film and he didn't direct it, directed by Chris Columbus, of course. I digress slightly. Other things Chicago is famous for, it's the home of V.R. Wachowski, possibly the finest detective in all of literary fiction. So I feel like I have a kinship to Chicago. You're actually from there, you crazy bastard. Why else is Chicago famous, Tom, in the casino industry? What's going on there?
Well, it's the hotbed right now. It's probably the largest market by population it's been approved, it's legalized. They've accepted 5 proposals for an in-Chicago casino. And there are 3 companies that have submitted bids on it. 2 of them submitted 2 proposals each, and Hard Rock submitted a single proposal.
Well, if you want to hear about just how smooth and seamless this process has been, join us on the RTFM episode where Tom will tell us everything.
Oh, my God. There's so much.
I know, right? Tom, thank you.
You're more than welcome, sir.
If you enjoyed this episode of The Gambling Files TLDR, then go to the website, www.thegamblingfiles.com. like, follow, share, etc., etc., and join us for the next episode this week, which is RTFM. Thank you.